There's another interesting thing too. I've started looking at Kindle Vella, which is kind of a short form content platform that's also Amazon as well, but it's for really short stuff. I mean, like a few hundred words, and they don't even necessarily allow you to create a price for it. It's just based on the word count, which is, in my opinion, like very strange. Because you don't get to even like set your pricing for word count. They set it, and then it's sold kind of at a packaged rate. So if you have a Vella account, you then buy these bundles of like credits and points. And so to purchase a piece that's like X number of words, it's going to take a number of these credits to buy. And originally, when I was working on the short story that I shared up into the Nest, I was looking at putting it out on Vella, but it's like 3,000 words, which I think is kind of at the upper limit of what you can do on Vella. And then additionally, the pricing for that, when I looked at how they would break that down, was no good. Additionally, I don't think I could put in images. So, I mean, you know, at 99 cents for the package with like a 35 cent or a 35% royalty or whatever, like obviously, you know, it's incredibly cheap. You're not making very much off of it. But at the same time, it allows you to put out something at a great price point, and then also to touch on different categories and get your material listed into different categories. And for me at this point, my audiobooks are selling more than my print or ebook material. So I've already performed the audiobook reading for this, and that will come out at some point in the future. I don't know, maybe April or something like that. Whenever I have a chance to finally do all the editing, I'm thinking about doing it as a straight read and then also an audio play. So it'll have like sound effects and then kind of be multi-voiced, but I'm playing around with different approaches to how to do that. We'll see how it goes, how it plays out, as I get a little bit deeper into the editing, maybe next month or something. It's always kind of weird to get into the beginning of a project. I started writing this almost a year ago. It was probably right around in March or April when I first started putting down the kind of the outline ideas for what this became, and then worked on it into October, and then did the audiobook reading for it in December at some point. I think it was around Christmas, actually. So I've just been kind of, you know, going a little slow with it and not really trying to rush. And then see kind of what pops up at me as I play around with the material. And I keep editing too. So all the way through the actual reading for the audiobook, I was still tweaking the text. And then when I got to the audiobook reading, I actually made a couple final changes, not only because there were some things that felt weird as a performance But then also in terms of the story and what I wanted it to feel like, there were a couple of things that I removed completely, which I had put in kind of based on some beta reader feedback. But then I decided I didn't want that in there. So I ended up pulling out, I would say, like two or three lines that just kind of were a little, I felt like they were a little too, they just gave up the ghost too much for me and didn't leave any kind of mystery about the text. So that was really like an 11th hour choice that I made on that one. Kind of rewrote one or two lines, and then I completely pulled out something that, you know, just was totally unnecessary as I was getting there, because I feel like it's more interesting to allow some ideas to kind of float in space without completely spelling them out on there, at least for me. I don't mind those things as a reader. And actually, I'm going to rephrase. I like those things as a reader. So I wanted to put them into this story. And the stuff I'm working on now, I'm trying to be a lot more on the page even than this one was, because this one's pretty highly symbolic. There's like three or four languages in this that get used. The next one, you know, is just two, as I'm seeing it now. So there's a lot of kind of like subtext that I use language to apply. Hey, what's up? You're welcome to come on up and hang out. I don't know if you're busy, but it's just been me hanging out in the meantime, chatting about the short story that is coming out on March 1st. And then also, I'm not sure if I was recording when you were here the last time, but I've started recording these. So now, you know, I'll share the links to the previous episode up into the nest as well. How's it going? You came up.
Good stuff. So what I was saying at the beginning is that you said, you know, that I came up and I basically said, I actually got an invitation to come up to the speaker panel. And I was like, that, you mean that wasn't you?
Oh, no.
Because I heard about that happening sometimes.
Oh, I don't know. It was definitely me. I sent it.
Oh, okay. 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 Let's talk about that, because that's weird. I was going to say.
Whenever anybody that I know it comes in, I'll send them an invite. Yeah. What have you been working on?
I just have to do some, like, I have to set up some announcements and stuff for my class. I have some classes later on, setting everything up. I really only have a few minutes to be here, and then I have to like do that stuff. And then my kids my presence is requested at the pool as soon as I'm done. So I'm going to be doing that as soon as I can.
Oh, yeah. That's cool. Pool time is good. How's the comic coming along?
Great. I actually finished penciling in the second issue last night. And then, so now I have to do, the next part is the inking and the coloring, which is kind of the part that takes, you know, most time. And then just start brainstorming ideas for the next issue. I already have a couple of ideas brainstormed, but I just have to actually plot it out. to see like the actual panel layout and stuff. That's basically where it's at. So right now I'm like on like the post production of if it was a movie, it'd be like the post production of the second issue, right?
Yeah, cool. So do you have a complete arc developed, or is it kind of open ended?
Right now it's kind of open ended because I'm basing it on kind of my story, kind of my arc. Because the main character is basically trying to get around to getting out his own webcomic, which I thought was cute. And then eventually I'll be adding in like other characters and other storylines. But right now he's struggling, managing to sit down and get out that webcomic. He needs encounters like distractions and interruptions and stuff. Mismanaged time, which is what the first issue was about.
Yeah, sounds incredibly recursive.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So how many episodes or
issues,
yeah, are you going to try to produce before you start to release them?
Well, if by release you mean put them out on Instagram, I'm basically doing them as I go. So as soon as the coloring is done on one, I try to get it out. And like if I'm away for the weekend without the Wacom, then and I have some time to work on the comic, what I do is like I'll take out a little notebook and start brainstorming ideas for the next issue or whatever. Like I'll try to at least find a way to work on it, whatever I can, in whatever way I can. So if I can't, if right now, for example, where we are, like I don't have the Wacom with me. So if I were to get time to work on it, it would be like on future issues and figure out kind of the storyline. You know, what other obstacles he's going to run into, and at what point I'm going to let him finally get out that first issue and just start like living that life. And then, maybe think about other characters. I am basing his struggles on like basically my own struggles, but I'm still debating on whether I should make him exactly like me, make him be married and have kids or whatever. So I'm still debating that in my head.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you're still, sick pretty early in the development of it and everything. Yes. So it's not as if you have to make all of those decisions today. Yeah. But okay, so let me ask you that. Do you find yourself drawing stuff and trying to kind of fit narrative around that? Or do you write stuff and then draw it?
No, I write stuff and then draw them. I like the things that pop into my head are stories, basically. That's why I always say that I consider myself a writer who draws more than an artist who writes. Mm-hmm. I do like drawing, but I'll do a fan art of some character that I see, or some kind of like interesting pose of a generic character or whatever. But as far as like things that I like to produce, I do I'll an idea will come into my head and I'll try to figure it out and flesh it out and then see how I can produce it.
Yeah.
So like the idea for this guy was like the first I kind of merged two ideas because the very first spark of the idea was a comic about a human character who's basically like an ADHD dad, which is basically me, right? And he's trying to do the same things that I'm doing. I was thinking, I could just make my struggles into jokes on a page, right? Just kind of like have a poke a little fun at that kind of stuff, because I'm sure other people face the same thing. And then at another point, I was thinking also about making little cartoon characters and like, I don't know, like maybe at one point, I've been looking a lot into Web3 spaces and NFT collections, learning what all that's about. So I've been thinking about and looking into maybe creating a set of characters that could, you know, be considered that I could put on the chain and see if I could, you know, I get that out there. So I kind of merged the two ideas together and made the comic about cute animal characters, like this cute animal character, and see if, you know, I can have an Instagram webcomic in the web for the web 2 side of things, and then maybe put out like one of one art pieces of like the characters or the work or the works in progress of the actual production, you know, see how that goes, because they're both very present interests in my for me right now, so I'm kind of expressing it that way, I guess.
Sure. Do you intend to package this stuff up to release in other ways besides Instagram?
I do. Like my original plan, and it's still it, is to eventually have enough issues that I can compile into a book. And by then, hopefully I'll have enough of an audience that will be interested in actually buying it and see if I can get it published. And at the same time, I'd like to continue investigating the NFT side of things, because there, you know, like if I do like a little art piece of one of the characters, like, you know, like the little cat character drawing his comic at it and sitting at the table, that could be an art piece, right? And I think an interesting way to get a little bit of income from that is to actually sell it as art. But because I live in Peru, very far away from the big comic conventions, it's hard to make an art piece and have prints of it, because who's going to buy it? So I think the NFT world is an interesting avenue to explore for that reason, right? Because there are people who are interested in looking at and acquiring basically art that's like based on the blockchain. So mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking into at the same time.
Might be some aspect of print on demand for you know, actual physical prints or even merchandise featuring the yeah. characters or stuff like that. Might be something to for explore. Sure.
Yeah. I would definitely explore that. Definitely be willing to explore that, but I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Sure. I want to make sure that, you know, like I want to get it out first, I guess, because I've had a bunch of ideas that have started up and stopped at different points of the journey. I have a completed book that I told you about the other day, like that right now we're trying to finish editing, and eventually I want to translate so I can get it published, but we need to get the illustration. So that's like as far as I've gotten so far, but I've got like plot outlines for a possible manga, another one for a comic book, but it might end up being a manga anyway, like a you know, manga style comic, you know, I'm not Japanese. And other things that are, you know, less developed, but I'm like, this little webcomic is the first time that I've actually finished something that I've actually put it out there. So I wanted to just get it out. You know, like I had the idea in November and I started plotting it out in December slowly, and cause I'm real busy.
Yeah.
And then just put it out. Like, I think it was the first week or the second week of January. So I'm working on the second one and see how, you know, just measure, figuring out how long it takes to get it out, to get it done. And that's basically it. Like what I'm working on, that's like the one project that I can actually show for, that I have something to show for. And then, you know, I want to get to work on the finishing the book, which is the closest to being the next thing closest to being done. And the things that I've plotted out, there's like, I have enough to write up proposals, and I'm looking to apply to grants to see if I can get, you know, some funding for hiring an illustrator, maybe an artist, other artists, because, you know, someone will have time who can draw faster than I can to maybe get out like an issue of a comic book at one point. That's like something that I'm looking to do this year too.
For this idea that you've oh, something of, else.
For one of the other, yeah, for one of the other stories that I have plotted out that are in my head, but I've been working on them for the last, I guess, year and a half, kind of plotting it out,
figuring out the characters, figuring out the kind of storylines. That's more, that's, you know, that that's not so much like the webcomic where it's like, just put out the first four panels and the first mini story and then see where it goes. This is more like, what would the plot be? You know, what would the story be about? And what would the first issue be about? And how long would it run? You know, like an actual comic or manga.
Yeah.
Which is really, you know, really interesting for me, to me.
Yeah, that's kind of the process that I work through too with the next story that I'm working on. I'm kind of giving myself a year to work on that one, and I'm, I guess, maybe a third of the way in terms of editorial. But I started drafting the outline for that at the same time as when I started creating this story that I'm releasing on March 1st. And it's taken me all of this time to flesh out the outline. And then it's made it really easy to start writing. And I'm a slow writer in general. And I don't like sit down every day and try and like hammer on it. I just work on it, you know, in stints or whatever. But basically, you know, if I get like 200 words, that's cool. And I'll go back sometimes and kind of tweak some things. The first quarter of it is written, and then I've started to kind of flesh out the three other segments of the story little by little. And what I'm finding, because this is actually going to be part of three stories, is that it's helped me to go through this process to begin to outline and give more detail into the characters over the arc of those three stories and how I'm going to approach, you know, outlining those ones. Cause I need to start thinking about those as well while I'm writing this one. But again, like my process is slow, and I'm also working on another book too. Like you are, I've got this National Park series that I do, and that is getting pretty close to being editorially done. So I'm thinking I might do a few chapter reads for the audiobook and then start producing the videos for that. As I kind of get the last little bit of editorial wrapped up for the kind of bookend segments that are in each book as well, each volume. But the actual park chapters are pretty much done. There's just little tiny bits and pieces like that I keep kind of tweaking and wanting to make sure that I put in additional details that are relevant, you know, about the animal life or plant life or the segues between parks, because this entry is going to be very different than the other two, which were just kind of like collections, and this one is specifically like one trip that I took and hit a bunch of parks within like 2 weeks. And then it's kind of, you know, that experience of traveling around the Southwest and hitting all these different parks. So they lead into each other in that way. And just kind of looking at, you know, how those videos are going to get produced. I've started looking back at the imagery and the videos that I collected at the time when I was out there. And I haven't looked at that stuff. I mean, I did this in 2022, so I haven't looked at this stuff intently, in a while. And I have to start thinking about layout and, you know, what's going to go into the video versions versus what I've kind of shared on social already and what's ready for print and the layout there. So yeah, I totally get it, man. Like mapping out your projects and filling in what you have and what you don't have and trying to hit deadlines, because I want this to be out in October at the latest. Yeah, you know, takes a lot of work.
Yeah, and you know, and speaking of deadlines, like for someone like me, I still have to like, I can't even give myself a deadline because I don't really know how long these steps take. Right? Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out. There's the pool. I had to figure out how long it takes me to do each step of the process. And now since I had to go and get interested in comics, geez, the illustrations alone are a massive headache. I mean, they're awesome. I'm not going to change it because it's so much cooler. I don't know, like the type of stories that I'm coming up with are begging for illustrations, right, to be told in comic format. But it's a brick wall. Like this other book, this book should have been out 4 years ago.
Oh my God.
If it had been a chapter book, because we finished writing it a good five, six years ago. We finished it, finished the story. And like the parts that it's written out in such a way that the parts in prose, it's a hybrid between comic and prose, right? Like between like a chapter book and a comic book. So it has parts that are narrated like a book, and parts that jump into panel, like comic book panels, and then it jumps back into prose. And so the parts that are really, really visual are told with illustrations like it's a comic book. That was my idea the whole time. So it's written out in a way that the prose sections are done, and the sections that are for that are meant to be in panels are basically like a script, like a comic book script, like description of panels, like right, like a like half page panel of so and so, like a medium shot of this character and that character doing this, pointing at the thing, and then like dialogue, right? So and so to : you'll never catch me, copper, whatever, right? So it's written out like that. So like half of it you can read it like it's the actual book, and half of it you can read like a one of those book scripts that you buy. A couple years ago we got this book. It's like the script version of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So instead of reading the book, you read like, you know, interior day, you know, so-and-so walks into a busy bus station. He looks around, it's written out like a script.
Like a screenplay.
It's kind of like a screenplay. So it's a little bit like that. So it's not something that I can just publish it then. And this was before I actually started learning how to draw. But as I started learning how to draw, I started going, okay, well, what about, you know, what if we do like a little bit of character design? Let's try it. But I was learning to draw at the same time. So it was painfully slow. It was painstakingly slow. And that, you know, fast forward 5 years, COVID and a bunch of other projects, ups and downs and whatever. I'm still I'm a little bit further along in figuring out what the characters look like, but getting all those panels in, it's like the script itself, like the way it's written, it's about 110 pages in the word in the drive documents. It's a pretty long book, but I have no idea how many pages it's actually going to be because it depends on the panels.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And you might find as you start working through that you're able to condense some things, or that you're able to, express multiple things within one panel, or using the format to get across certain action, you know, in ways that you hadn't necessarily thought of before. And like, I'm not an illustrator by any means, you know, but I do like comics in general since I was a kid.
Yeah. Same here. Right. Like I grew up with Calvin and Hobbes, not even comic books. I grew up with comic strips. Like Calvin and Hobbes, Dilbert, Garfield, and what I was going to say, I was going to say that what I really like about this hybrid format, I found it in this book by accident, and I saw it, and I was amazed by it, and I was totally inspired to write this book that way. It allows us because it's co-written, it allows us to express the more internal character-driven parts in prose, properly written in prose. Like reactions and thoughts that the character has, and the parts that are filled with action, because it's science fiction and action adventure for kids. Like the parts where with like chases and battles and space battles and stuff like that, we can just go all in with comic book panels that look really nice. So the illustrations are meant to, you know, express that, and it also has the bonus of, you know, looking nice so it draws in the reader. And then it gets the kids to actually read, because they get, you know, they open the book for the panels, but then they run into a part of a chapter, you know, part that's written in prose and it reads. So it's, you know, it's a win-win, except for the part where we're trying to get it out and still not done. So that's kind of the biggest hurdle.
Yeah. We've been
facing. Because it's a lot of panels. It's not, we can just up and, you know, pay an artist.
Right.
At one point I even figured, you know what? I'll just do it, like, try to pay an artist to do a page a month. A page a week, or even a page a month. Even at a page per month, by the end of the year, I'll have 12 pages done, which is more than we have now.
That's true.
More than we've had in the past 3-4 years. So then my friend said, well, let's try knocking on some doors this summer. Like, let's try going out and knocking on some doors, because the publisher will take care of the illustrations if they accept the project. And that's where we're at.
That's true. I actually know a handful of people who have produced comics, both in the writing and illustrating sense, you know, in a very indie way. And even a few folks that have worked for like Marvel and DC and stuff like that. In terms of selling your comic, or getting it picked up or whatever, I mean, that's as hard as it probably ever was, but it, in the sense that you could potentially generate interest or produce a product, you know, that's as easy as it's ever been. In so many different ways.
Yeah. Like building an audience and getting interest in it, and like, you know, what they call building in public, your works in progress, getting people, you know, to know about the project, to know that it exists, and then getting interested in it. That's a whole process. And, and it takes time. It takes so much time.
Yeah, for sure. You know, but, you know, as somebody who definitely like posts my process and, you know, along the way without trying to necessarily like give away the finished stuff. Like the next volume 3 of the Park series, a lot of what I have written and the imagery, I post all that stuff up on Instagram, you know? So, not to say that all of that is the final copy or is the entirety of the images that'll be in there. In many cases, there's no video that I post up there. It's just kind of that developmental stage. And then in the future, I keep kind of chiseling away at it and it becomes something more than those original thoughts. With this short story now, I had a bunch of beta readers looking at it, you know, from its infancy, when it had like only 1,000 words or whatever, and kind of giving me feedback on what was working or what wasn't and what they liked and what they didn't. And you can take or leave as much of that as you want, but at the same time, just, you know, again, developing that community, like you were saying, and getting additional eyes and brains on what you're doing is useful and interesting as well. Cause sometimes there's stuff that you miss, or there's things that people like that they will ask for more of. And that definitely happened as well. There was some stuff that, you know, only materialized because of that feedback. And I think before you had gotten in here, I was saying there are some things where they had been like, oh, we'd really like this to be, you know, explicitly stated. And once I got to the audiobook reading that I did in December, I guess, I read those lines, but as I was going through it, I was like, I don't really like that. So I've, you know, ripped some stuff back out. So you kind of keep going back and forth. It's okay. And like, this doesn't even have to be the final version of it either. You know, stuff like ebooks and audiobooks, you can change them later on and re-upload the new versions or add new material to it or whatever you want to do. And, you know, that's the statement at the time.
Yeah. I find that when you're building in public, sometimes you're tempted to tweak more than maybe you should, right? Does that happen to you as well? The last panel of that first issue, I looked at it right before, or I think it was even after I published it. And I was like, maybe I could change it so it looks like this. It'll be a little bit better. But then I thought, no, you know what? It's time to let it go. and I think like just, it's better to just move on. Is that kind of what you were talking about with the iterations?
Not so much. So like
I might be a little distracted because I'm trying to retweet the spaces, but I think I accidentally retweeted podcast.
It's all good. Yeah.
I may have been slightly distracted. I supposedly edited the text, but for some reason it shows up twice in my feed. I guess it just has to fix itself.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I don't edit tweets. What I mean is that, so the Chicago 1893 book has had three editions. And the first edition had a black and white cover. And then the second edition, I changed it to a color image that I took. And that's kind of, you know, what has been in there going forward. Then, you know, I corrected some things or changed some things or added a little bit of detail as I learned some new stuff in that second edition. And then in the third edition, I had processed some photos with AI, so they were colored, and I've added a few of those into the third edition, and then also just kind of tweaked some copy here and there where there were, you know, errors, grammatical errors or spelling mistakes or whatever, and clean that stuff up. And then I also added in a whole new section that's like three or four pages just on the back that kind of serves as like an epilogue about the project in general. Because when I first started and put out that book, it was my first book, that was 2019, and I hadn't done all the other stuff that I've done with that project, like put out the documentary, done augmented reality stuff with it, 3D printing, 3D modeling, the merchandise stuff. It didn't have a social presence of its own when I first started all that. So I've just kind of talked about the project as an entity more dynamically, within a little segment that's in the third edition too. So that's in there, just to kind of like round out what that has been doing for itself, you know, in general, over the years too, because like people buy that book, they don't necessarily know that it's connected to other stuff at that, you know, at that early point in time, you know, it didn't have anything else. So, now it does.
I've seen those. Yeah. Okay. I see now what you were talking about. I was way off. I was trying to write the retweet, like the quote retweet for the space. And then I try to pay attention at the same time. And then I realized I retweeted by accident the podcast and not the space. So I was way off of what I was saying, because I heard you start talking about making changes into the editions and so on. But I see what you mean for sure. Like in new editions, you have a chance to update it, you know, a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is really great. Yeah, totally. I don't know what that's like. I haven't been published yet. But I will be.
It will be
one day soon for sure.
I mean, it's not a big deal. Like it's just that having done so much with that particular project that I just wanted to make the book more expansive about what it had been doing. And then also the color images, I thought they added a lot of depth to the imagery and kind of break up some of the monotony inside of that book too, where it was a lot of pages of black and white and sepia toned images. To be able to use some of the colored AI stuff just, you know, gives readers something to make that a little bit more lively You know, not that the historical photographs to me, you know, like I have them, the originals in books and I like them, but at the same time, like the project is its own thing and it can do these other things. If you want the original photos, they exist out there. You can acquire them. You can go buy those books that I own. But this book is really about the project and, you know, bringing that history to life in interesting ways. So I wanted it to do that.
That's cool. That's cool. So now I understand more about what you were saying a couple of weeks ago when you said you haven't done a whole lot of fiction, right? Because you're more about projects, you know, like nonfiction projects, like this book here.
Yeah,
I've always been the other way around. I've always been like nuts, like crazy about stories, like fiction stories, characters, and wild space adventures or whatever. I'm coming at it from the other side. Like I've always been interested in that kind of stuff, and now you're starting to get into it, right?
Yeah,
with your projects, that's cool.
Yeah, a little bit. And that's kind of the plan over the next few years. I've got a paperback to release this year. I've got another project that I think can turn into a paperback for next year that I, you know, need to start thinking about, you know, maybe in the summer or something, and start working on that. But my release schedule is now kind of like, okay, I can put out these fictional works in the first half of the year, and then I can do the paperback stuff, because, you know, the fictional stuff is short story, you know, and it's kind of new, you know, but for me, and like I want to pace myself with it and enjoy that process, but then also have something relatively often enough, you know, at least once a year to be able to put out, and then do the other projects that kind of like continue to build on the catalog of like nonfiction stuff that I've been doing. You know, the national parks material. And then the next one is actually going to be more historically focused again, to kind of go back into some of that space, which I have not, you know, touched on really at all since I did the first Chicago book. So get back into that a little bit. Hopefully it works. We'll see what happens.
That's great. Well, here's hoping, man.
Yeah. Hoping. And that kind of started in social too, you know?
Yeah. Same here for the same reasons. Sorry. I don't know how much the kids screaming in the background is getting through the microphone, but
it's all good.
That's my kid just outside.
Yeah. Don't sweat it. Yeah. And so like that project, you know, for next year, that started all on social too. And it happened, I started it, gosh, I don't know. Oh yeah. Actually, God, wow. Started that 4 years ago, started that the year that COVID started. So like I have only done a very rough initial kind of draft, if you, in heavy quotes, draft of that. I wouldn't even call it a manuscript at this point, cause I haven't even like gathered everything up. And there's so much available there to kind of go through and play around. I might use AI kind of heavily with some of that to, at least draft, though I'll probably, end up doing a lot of the editorial myself. But the cool thing about that one is it doesn't have to have a narrative. So it'll be very just kind of like piecemeal stuff. Again, it'll be photographic, as well, but Yeah, we'll see how that goes, you know. Not totally. I haven't kind of set myself onto a format or anything like that with it. But looking forward to see what happens in that way. Because, it, you know, we're able to explore these ideas when we're working on books or anything like that. And then basically just do whatever we like. And, you know, that kind of needs to be the first thing. I think you should be working on projects that you enjoy and putting them out there and sharing them. And if other people dial into them, you know, that's like bonus, I feel like. Which, you know, that's kind of the funny part too, is like, I never intended to get really into audiobooks. It just sort of happened because when I was producing the documentary for the Chicago book, I learned that I could, I needed a voiceover for it, and I knew it was going to be the editorial from the book. And as I was thinking about that, I learned that I could release an audiobook. So I did, you know, and then that just became part of the process, the kind of the cycle of me releasing stuff. And then I more deeply integrated the audiobook production into the editorial development. So before I ever release, you know, over the last, you know, 2 years or whatever, 3 years, before I ever release anything, I've already done the audiobook reading, because it's kind of like a final proof process. And then also just that last little, like, well, what decision do you want to make with this editorial before you hit send on Amazon or whatever? And that's, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I was getting a call for a second.
Okay.
Yeah. That just came in. So I had to turn it off. Yeah, so it becomes like that last little piece before hitting send on KDP on Amazon, doing that final read. And I advise everybody to do that, you know, to either read your work out loud, more valuably to record that reading. You can use that in all sorts of different ways. That could be turned into an audio book if you want. It could be turned into a video book if you want to do that, or like release a chapter or something as promotional for the work, or anything really. You know, you get these options. You create options by doing these things for yourself. Somebody just released, I'm in a group chat for writers here on Twitter, and somebody had released basically a video book for a chapter on, you know, from their book, and it was pretty cool, you know. I liked it, and I think that it's useful when authors do that kind of stuff, which is, you know, kind of what I've done in the past too, where I had released the videos from the Parks books up on different platforms at different points. And before I put out the documentary, I actually screened here on Twitter, like 2 or 3 segments from the documentary. I just kind of like broadcast them out. I don't even know if that might've been when Periscope was still around. I think it was. So I used Periscope or something like that to push it out with OBS or something. And they're just good, you know, promotional devices or ways to give people something, you know, without asking for anything. I mean, we're making products, you know, like that's important. But at the same time, you know, it's okay to give stuff away as well, you know, and whether it's like an early draft or components of the final version or whatever, you know, it's good to do that. It's not going to hurt you at all. Like, the documentary, somebody's watching that, you know, regularly. So if I, in no way did it hurt me to like give people access or whatever, to components of it, or even like, the whole thing. And in some cases, like when I work with people on that project, I'll usually give them access to the version of it that I have up on YouTube so they can watch it and, you know, they can learn a little bit more or kind of get a better sense of what the project is about, as they get involved with different things. So there might be, you know, some more stuff coming from that as well in the near future here. Kind of talking with some folks about developing the artificial intelligence version of that documentary and then offering it up on different platforms as well. So, you know, you never know where these projects will go or when a new opportunity for them will come up. And I think that, you know, as writers, we just kind of have to keep developing new ideas and keep promoting our work so that people can find it and, you know, create discussions around that work and keep pushing it forward and seeing where it finds itself. But yeah, we've been hanging out for an hour. It's been just you and I talking, but I'll probably wrap it up. And then, you know, in 2 weeks, we'll do it again.
Yeah, but you know, it's been nice. It's been nice. And I wanted to comment on what you said about recording your last, kind of like the last pass. That's kind of where I am with that big book, you know, just checking out the last pass. But I never thought to record myself doing it, and then much less to like make it into content. That might be interesting, although it hasn't been translated yet. And I think the main audience for like content creation and stuff might just be in English. I don't know, but now you've given me something to think about for sure. It's very interesting. Just record yourself, like, you know, like in an informal way, just like maybe on your phone or just sitting at the computer. Doesn't have to be a super fancy setup, and make it about the fact that it's working. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It does not have to be super fancy, but I will tell you, if you want to do an audiobook, you should get decent gear.
Oh, for sure.
At least a decent mic and an interface or whatever you want to use. Because when you're going to go through the post-production of that audio and you load it up to the platforms for distribution, they have like quality checks and stuff like that. So if you're going to do it once, you might as well do it as best as you can, just so that you don't have to go back and do it again, which is a thing that I've had to do, for some stuff. Like, so originally, you know, speaking to the Parks project, like I had put out the videos originally and I had done voiceover for them, but I just did it, you know, very informally, let's use that term. And it was crap. And when I wanted to re-release those videos to kind of be part of the project, you know, obviously, like I couldn't use that voiceover for the audiobook because the audio quality was terrible. So I had reread for the audiobook, and then I took that and replaced it over the video and then re-exported the video into the packages for you know, additional distribution and stuff like that too. So it, you know, it is something that you do want to think about in general. Yeah, in that sense.
Well, what I was thinking about more was like work in progress, content creation, a little snippet here, a little snippet there, especially because my specific book isn't all prose. But I do have, like, I do
do voiceover work. I've done freelance voiceover work for about 10 years now, and I have
nice.
My little booth, and I have, you know, I have the microphone and the interface and all that stuff, and I know how to edit and even master the final voice track. So I could record my own audiobook, but I think that's a much bigger mountain to climb. I think just you know, as I was thinking more in terms of, you know, as I'm going through chapter by chapter, just checking for mistakes, I can use that reading out loud as like little snippets to,
for sure.
To get, yeah, to put people. As far as audiobook, that's something that's, you know, for farther down the line for sure.
I mean, you can record it at any point and then, you know, get into the editing whenever you have time. If it takes a while, like, yeah. I don't like editing audio. I really don't. I never have. Even when I was a musician, I really did not like editing audio, drums in particular. And editing voice work is very similar to editing drums. And I just do not derive joy from doing it, but I do it anyway. Yeah. At any rate. Yeah. Good session. Thanks for hanging out. And, you know, I'll schedule the next one for 2 weeks from today. So it'll be March something or other, 5th or 6th or something.
I'll tell you right now, March 6th.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will talk before too long.